of the Dueling Knights. You didn't realize you would get some enlightenment during the skit. You should never give out that information, by the way, for you young people. Hopefully you don't have a bank account to drain anyway. All right, grab your King James Bibles. As soon as we have the girls come sing a skit, we're going to have Brother Murphy. Sorry, Brother Murphy. Our girls are going to come sing a song called the Whippoorwill Song. So ladies, come ahead.
I set the boundaries of the ocean vast, carved out the mountains in the distant past, molded a man from the miry clay, then gave him life, but he went astray. I own the cattle on a thousand hills, I write the music for the whippoorwills, control the planets with their rocks and rills, but give you freedom to use your own will. I hold the waters in my mighty hand, spread out the heavens with a single span. Make all creation tremble at my voice, but my own sons come to me by choice. I own the cattle on a thousand hills. I write the music for the whippoorwills. Control the planets with their rocks and rills, but give you freedom to use your own will.
Even the oxen know the master's song, and the sheep obey the shepherd's call. I could demand your love, I bought you twice, but only willing love is worth the price.
I own the cattle on a thousand hills. I write the music for the whippoorwills. Control the planets with their rocks and rills, but give you freedom to use your own will. And if you want me to, I'll make you whole. I'll only do it though if you say so. I'll never force you, for I love you so. I give you freedom, is it yes or no? I give you freedom, is it yes or no?
All right, that was good. Amen. Take your Bibles now. You have your Bibles with you this morning. I'm going to read some verses out of the book of Mark in chapter number 10, the book of Mark in chapter number 10. We'll look at a few verses here and then get right into the message and all the skits and singing. I'll tell you what, I've enjoyed it. Amen. And it's been good. It's been funny. You can tell they put a lot of work into those things. And thank the Lord for it. But notice here in the book of Mark, in chapter number 10, and then I'm going to start reading there in verse number 17. Mark chapter 10, and then verse number 17. Notice what the Bible declares under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, preserved in the King James Bible. Amen? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Thank God that we have the inspired, preserved Word of God in the King James Bible. And I want you to notice there in verse number 17, Mark chapter 10. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, notice this particular statement, "One thing thou lackest." One thing thou lackest. There was something missing in this young person's life. And the Bible says that, you know, he had a lot of things going for him. Just like a lot of people today, I mean, we have a lot of things going for us. Amen? Amen. Number one, we get to live in a country that God has established, a country that has been founded on the Word of God. Yep. And thank God for that. And what a blessing it is to be able to be a citizen of this wonderful nation and one nation under God. Amen. And that's what it started out as, that type of nation. And boy, thank God that we have that opportunity and a lot of things going for us, all the things that God has bestowed upon us, all the blessings. You know, if you open your eyes and hearts, you can see many of the blessings. Amen. And opportunities and possibilities. And this individual here, he had a lot of things going for him. But the Bible said he was missing something. Yeah. He was missing something. There was something just not right. Something just was kind of off center a little bit. And he said, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. And so have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross, and follow me. Wow, what an admonition from the Lord. Amen. And, you know, the Bible says there that God had given him opportunity. And isn't it a blessing to know that God has given us an open door of opportunity to be used of God to advance the cause of Christ, to live a life that will be pleasing and honoring and glorifying to him. He said there, sell out to God, young people. You need determined to sell out to the Lord. And give your all to the Lord. And follow God. People today aren't following the Lord like they ought to. Oh, they follow Facebook. Yeah. They follow Twitter. They follow their favorite athlete. Who's with me? Amen. Yeah. And they follow a lot of different things. But are we following Jesus? Yeah. Are we following the Lord? Are we walking in his footsteps? And left us an example that we ought to follow. He said, follow me. Sell out. Do what I would have you to do with your life. Now notice, after he had heard this admonition from the Lord, what type of response did he have? What type of attitude? Once he heard the message of God. Amen. And it's an attitude that a lot of people have today when it comes to the preaching of God's word. When it comes to the will of God and what God wants us to do with our life. Amen. This seems to be the normality of the day. The type of attitude that people get when God sets out his word and the will of God and lays it out for us to follow and gives us the instruction and the doctrines that we need to live a life of joy and happiness. And once the Lord gave them that recipe of true joy, how did he respond? And the Bible says that he was sad. There's no reason for young people to be sad. You have so much going for you. Amen. There's no reason for you to be down and discouraged and sad and upset. Who's with me? Some of you are upset because you didn't get to eat a half a dozen donuts. Some of you are upset about that. And you're sad. And there's a lot of young people today that are in that type of situation. I mean, they're just disappointed about things. They're upset about things. They're sad, a lot of things, and the reason for that is that many times you just put too much pressure on yourself. But there was something here in this individual's life that was lacking. I mean, he had riches, and if there's one thing that makes people happy today is money. Amen. He had all the riches. The Bible says that he was sad at the saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. I mean, he had it all. He had, the motorcycles and the four-wheeling chariots that they had back in those days. And, all the comfort, all the ease. I mean, he had it going on, neighbor. And there was no reason for him to allow himself to be in this state of mind. He was sad. He was grieved. He was upset. And he was a man that had the riches and he had religion. Who's with me? Notice he said, I've observed all these things. I know what the Bible says. Just like a lot of young people here today, raised up in a Christian home, in a place of, comfort and ease. And really, you don't have to be a wealthy person to enjoy a roof over your head and a nice, a comfortable bed to sleep in and have all the meals provided for you. There's no reason for people today especially young people, to walk around, I mean discouraged, down, and just upset about life. The Bible says he was sad and he was grieved about the saying, about what the Lord would have him to do with his life. And the Bible says he had that religion. He may have went to a Christian school. He may have been raised up in a Christian home. I mean, you know, he knew all the commandments. He knew what the Bible, he knew what the Lord was talking about. Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah, oh yeah, I've heard that message before. Why should I have to listen to that? I've heard those things all my life. My mom and dad preach it to me. My youth pastor preaches it to me. My pastor preaches it to me. I know all about living. I've been to youth conferences. I've been to devotion times. I've been to prayer meetings. I mean, he had the riches. He had the religion. It seemed like he had everything that a person would need to make their life happy and fulfilled. And yet when he heard the message from God, he went away sad. Amen. In a person like this, many times, you know, they'll have the respect of different individuals and people, you know, that have this type of home and this type of financial security will have the respect from other people that are around him. And so he had all these things, but yet the Lord looked at him and said, "One thing thou lackest." There's something missing in your life. And you see young people today, they got it. They got, you know, they've got the blessings of God. They've got a wonderful church, wonderful family, the Word of God, living in America. There's no reason for us to be sad. There's no reason for us to be down. But yet, we allow ourselves to get in this type of condition because there's something lacking. There's something missing. There's something not there that needs to be there. Amen. I was headed to a meeting one time, and I was running a little late, so I pulled into a McDonald's drive-thru. I ordered two cheeseburgers and a medium-sized cup of coffee. And so they gave me the bag, and I gave them the money, and I was in such a hurry, I didn't even wait around for the change. I just took right off. And so as I was driving down the road, I reached into the bag. I unwrapped it with one hand. I had the coffee in my other hand, and I was steering my truck with my knee. That's a technique you develop when you travel as much as I do. Amen? Food in one hand, drink in the other, and then you're driving with your knee. And so I grabbed that, and I two bites, it was gone. I was hungry. I was in a hurry. I mean, I was rolling. Man, when you're hungry and you got a McDonald's cheeseburger, I mean, that brings the joy of the Lord. Amen. Doesn't take much to make me happy. And so I was so excited, and I reached in a bag, and I unwrapped the other burger, and I took a bite. And I'm chewing it around in my mouth, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, that just doesn't taste right. That doesn't taste right at all. And so I open it up, and I see the cheese, and I see the onions, and I see the pickles, and I see the ketchup, and I see the mustard, and I see all that. It had everything except for the hamburger patty. Wow. There was no hamburger patty. I mean, how you make a cheeseburger and not have a hamburger patty? I mean, what kind of sick, twisted individual would give you a burger without the hamburger patty? You got to be some filled with some kind of demonic host. A legion of devils dwells within your mind. And I'm telling you what, when I looked at that, I threw it out the window. And you say, well, you shouldn't litter. Well, I wasn't littering. I was sustaining life. Could have been a little girl. Her little dog was missing, and he'd been out there in the rain, you know, and storm and no shelter, hungry, and come along to that little bun that I threw out the window and was able to gobble that up, sustain his life. The little girl found the puppy, and they were united. It wasn't littering. That was sustaining life. Amen. But I tell you what, I mean, after I bit into that, you know what happened? I was sad and I was grieved. Because there was something missing. There was no hamburger patty. I'm going to preach a message this morning simply entitled, Where's the Beef? How many remember that commercial? Where's the beef? Where's the beef? That old lady, you know, Wendy's commercial. Where's the beef? Where's the beef? You know. Little bitty old patty on that big, you know. Where's the beef? I mean, listen, in our Christianity today, we've got our churches. We've got our camps. We've got our crusades. We've got our conferences. We've got our Christian schools. We've got everything that's needed for people to live a successful Christian life, and yet so many people are sad and grieved because there's something missing. Where's the beef? Where's the power? Where's the strength? Where's the desire to want to serve and live for God? Yes, you've got the riches. You've got the religion. You've got the respect. But yet you're sad. There's something missing. Where's that spirit-filled young person? I mean, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit of God, overcoming sin and temptation, a desire to want to be used of God, a desire to want to stay pure and stay right and stay holy. Where's that beef? Amen. Where's the beef? Where's the strength? Where's that spirit-filled young man? I mean, you know, we got the King James Bible, got the Holy Spirit of God, got a wonderful conference that's been put together through love, hard work, but yet people will leave this conference sad and grieved because there's something lacking in your life. There's something missing in your Christianity. And here we see in this passage of Scripture that the Bible says that he wanted him to sell out to God. Where's the beef? In other words, where's the commitment? There's no commitment in society today. People aren't committed to anything. No commitment. When it comes to marriage, when it comes to church attendance, when it comes to friendship, things of that nature, there just seems to be a lack of commitment in our churches, in our lives, in our homes, in our marriages. People today just don't have that old-fashioned commitment to do the will of God. It's a state of being dedicated to a cause. Where's that dedication to a cause? Amen. David said, is there not a cause? And he went down there and faced that giant. And, you know, the King Saul tried to give him all that armament. He said, I don't need that. All I need is the power of God. And he had that strength. And he had that power. And he had that beef, amen, and went down there into that valley. And God used David to overcome that obstacle that stood in the way. And it was able to encourage other people. And when the children of Israel saw that the giant had been slain by this little 17-year-old shepherd boy, they rose up and they chased off the enemy. Because somebody had some commitment. Amen. Amen. Committed, dedicated, devoted, allegiance, loyalty, faithfulness. I mean, staying true to a promise, a pledge, an oath, a responsibility, an obligation, a duty. Where's that commitment today? People aren't committed like they ought to be. Oh, yes, you have your church. You sit in your pew. You have your religion. You have your riches. You have the respect that you think you deserve from other people. But, oh, listen, why is your countenance fallen? Why are you so sad? Why do you get upset so easily when you're faced with some type of obstacle? When things don't go your way, you get mad at your parents. You get mad at your pastor. You get mad at God. Why? There's no commitment. Where's the beef? My mom and dad got saved back in 1974. They've been a member of the First Baptist Church ever since. 80 years old. 82 years old, they've been married for 60 years. You talk about commitment. Worked that bus route from the day it was started to the day the pastor decided we're not going to run that bus route anymore for one reason or another. So my dad decided I want to continue to serve God. I'll be a driver of a bus route. So we start doing that. Been in the bus ministry now for 43 years. You talk about commitment. I look at Brother Block, commitment. I look at Brother Nichols, others, Brother Taylor, these men that I've known for years and years, and Brother Max and others. I've known for years and years and years, still serving God. Oh, listen, they may not have a lot of money. They may not have all the possessions that this world equates happiness with. But hey, neighbor, they're committed. And when they hear preaching, they get right. They don't leave the church upset, mad, grieved, and run away like so many people do because there's something missing. No commitment. No commitment. No dedication. No real devotion to the things of God. Where's the beef? Where's the beef? There's something lacking in your life, young person. That's why you're so sad. Amen. Not willing to sell out. Just content with mediocrity. Mediocrity has become the menace of the ministry. Mediocre, half-hearted, lukewarm when it comes to serving God. Oh, you'll be committed to a video game to get to that 30th level. I mean, you'll stay committed to that. You'll even save it in your hard drive so that the next day you come back to it and start on it again. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with playing video games. I'm not preaching against video games. You want to play a video game, but as much time as you spend playing video games, you ought to be spending that much time or more with the things of God. Amen. Committed. Yep. Amen. Where's that commitment to the things of God? Titus Smith's children just come up to me and introduced themselves to me and said, my daddy wanted me to come to tell you hello. Their daddy, when they were about their age right now, I used to preach to Titus when he was just a little boy. That's how long I've been preaching the gospel. If there's one thing I've determined to do for the cause of Christ, is to stay committed. Amen. I mean, that's the least I can do. He lacked commitment. It wasn't there. He wasn't willing to take up the cross. He wasn't willing to sell out to God. He wasn't willing to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He had everything going for him, but he was lacking. Maybe it was commitment. Maybe it was compassion. He said, give to the poor. Amen. Where's that compassionate spirit today in our young people? I mean, young people can be so hateful and say some terrible things to each other and get on the Facebook and write things. And people today that have seen hateful things written about them that have went out and have taken their own life. Just a hateful type of spirit. I mean, that is satanic. A hateful spirit. Where's your compassion? The Bible said, be kind one to another. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Every year, my birthday, my mother says, well, when I gave birth to you, I was in labor for about 20 minutes. They barely had time to get me undressed. And pow, I mean, I was in my dress and you came into the world. And when you turned 9 months, you started walking. You didn't crawl. You didn't creep. You just stood up one day and just started walking. 9 months old. I've heard that story now for 59, at least 59 times. Every time I get a birthday, she tells me about the day I was born and how I stood up and walked. Now, my brother Jeff, he's a year younger than me. And she said, now, Jeff, your brother, didn't start walking until he was 14 months old. And I said, wow. Was he handicapped? Did he have something wrong with his head? I mean, you know, what was wrong with that kid? No, nothing wrong with him. It's just that every time he stood up to walk, you would push him down. Got to the point where he didn't even want to walk. That's what older brothers are supposed to do. Toughen them up. Amen. And you know, it's even true in Christianity. Some people grow in the Lord a little bit faster than other people. Like my dad got saved, and man, I mean, he got saved immediately, threw his cigarettes out the window, never smoked again. Now my mother smoked, but it took her, you know, 2 or 3 years to try to get over that nasty habit. But not one time did my dad ever criticize her for struggling with that vice. Not one time. And the problem today in our churches, and especially in our young people, somebody wants to walk for God and you just stand there and push them down. It's no wonder things are going the way they're going. We don't have the compassion and the love for each other like we ought to have. Amen. God doesn't want you to be pushing people down. He wants you to be helping people, encouraging people in the things of God, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You see somebody struggling with something, don't be critical of them. Stop pushing people down. Amen. Why don't you determine in your heart to be a pulley, not a bully? Amen. Be a pulley, not a bully. Be a helper to pull somebody up, to get somebody where they need to be for the cause of Christ. He had no compassion. He had riches. He had wealth. He had possessions. He had religion. He had respect in the world. But there was something missing. He didn't want to give to the poor. He didn't want to be a blessing. He didn't have any compassion. Where's the compassion? Jesus, when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. And some having compassion will make the difference. Amen. Be a help to each other in the youth group. Be a blessing. Go and say, let's go pass out some tracts. Go and say, let's go have a prayer meeting. Hey, let's go. Come up to somebody and say, hey, this is what I read in the Bible today. Let me show it to you. Let me be a blessing to you. Tell me what you've read in the Bible today. It will revolutionize Christianity and your youth group. If we just had that compassion. And there was no contentment. I mean, he just wasn't content. Why? Because the Bible says that he went away sad. He went away grieved. That's a problem today, young people. You're too covetous. You see these stars on television, these contracts, and now every young person thinks they're going to be an NBA basketball player, or they're going to be a football player, or they're going to be a hockey player, you know, or something like that. You're just not content with what the Lord's given you. You're just not content. He wasn't content with riches. He wasn't content with religion. He wasn't content with respect from other people. He didn't have it. He was lacking that contentment that comes with a right relationship with God. Where's the beef? Where's the beef? Oh, listen, God wants you to have that relationship with Him that'll bring that a joy and a happiness and a contentment. The Bible wants us to be. The Apostle Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. No matter what I go through, I'm not going to get sad and I'm not going to get grieved. Because I want to have those things. Perhaps it was commitment. He didn't sell out. Perhaps it was compassion. He didn't love the poor. Perhaps it was contentment. He went away sad and grieved even though he had everything. You know the bottom line with this fella? The bottom line with him is he wasn't saved. He just wasn't saved. What must I do to inherit eternal life? So he thought you could just, you know, it could just be passed along to you through an inheritance, because maybe that's how he got that money, through his mom and dad. And a lot of young people think that, you know, I've inherited eternal life through growing up in a Christian home or going to a Christian school or being around the Bible and being around Christians all the time. You think you just inherit it. You don't inherit it. You've got to individually receive it for yourself. Like the 10 virgins, 5 had oil, 5 didn't. And the ones that didn't said, give us your oil. They said, no, you've got to have your own oil. You've got to have your own individual, personal relationship with God. That's what brings true happiness, true contentment. You'll struggle the rest of your life. You may have the wealth. You've got the religion and the respect. You'll want that. You know, everybody wants to be respected. He disrespected me. Everybody wants to be respected. You may have all those things, but yet you'll still be sad and you'll still be grieved. Why? Because probably not saved. Probably not saved. Where's the beef? Where's the beef? Where is that fire, that desire, that strength to overcome these temptations? One thing thou lackest. What's missing in your life this morning? Father, thank you for your love. I pray you take the message. Help us to recognize the truth of it. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You say, God spoke to my heart. I needed that message. Lift your hand up big and high. Lift it up big and high all over the building. Lift it up there. You may put your hands down, not necessarily giving.